Free agency rolls on, and the Tennessee Titans, led by general manager Ann Carthen, continue to make moves, bringing back some familiar faces this week in the persons of kicker Nick Folk and wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and bringing in some newcomers also this week, officially defensive lineman Sebastian Joseph Day and offensive lineman Sadiq Charles. One notable former Titans player remains available to the rest of the league, though, which is which might be a bit surprising to some folks. I know I'm a little bit taken aback by it, but we will get into that, these other matters and more on this edition of the Believe in Titans podcast with the usual lineup. Former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you?
Doing good this evening. How are you doing, David?
Doing great. John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
Doing well.
And I am David Beauclair of the Nashville Banner, and certainly not as eventful this week with nothing rivaling the signing of Calvin Ridley, but the Tennessee Titans continue to make moves. One move we didn't really get into last week, and we had talked about it in the weeks up leading up to the start of free agency, is what is going to become of the backup quarterback position, and who could or should the Titans find there? And they ultimately settled on Mason Rudolph, a guy who has been with Pittsburgh, been a career backup, but has started some games, has won some games. Denard, it's always a funny position. Backup quarterbacks tend to be very popular. As far as sort of the next tier of the second tier of moves go, how do you rate this one for the Titans? Is this a good spot to end up in?
Yes. I'm a big fan of Mason Rudolph, David. I've been watching him for a long time, since his days at Oklahoma State. And he has all the intangibles to not only he's going to be a quality backup, but he is when he gets his chance to start, when he got his chance to start for Pittsburgh, he was very productive. And I go back to a game back, what was in 2020, when Pittsburgh locked up the AFC and they sat down Ben Roethlisberger for the final game of the season. And he came in and he absolutely torched that Ravens defense. And, unfortunately with Mason is that, his days at Pittsburgh, he's always had to battle so many other players, from Mitchell Trubisky, who didn't pan out. Unfortunately, he lost that. But when he gets his chance to play, he's productive. And then you look at last year, they bought in Kenny Pickett. He hasn't really panned out. But when Mason gets his chance, he's a quality quarterback. So I'm really happy about them bringing a veteran in to kind of help Will. And I think this would be a good situation for Malik to learn as well from Mason. I think he has a lot of up value to bring to this football team.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy who's basically been drugged down, if you will, or held down maybe by his draft position, which is not terrible. I mean, he was a third round pick in 2018, 76th overall. But as you mentioned, came into the league when Ben Roethlisberger was still the Steelers quarterback. They went to Mitch Trubisky, who was a top pick overall. Then Kenny Pickett, the only first round quarterback taken in the year he came out. It's sort of like the Steelers they focused on those guys during his time there, but he hung around and did make the most of his opportunities when he got them. He's 8-4-1 as a starter, including 3-0 last year, which is nothing to sneeze at. John, he's sort of a nice balance of experience, but not a guy who's really going to threaten Will Levis in this regard either, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. Yeah, it's a weird kind of career that it's been for Mason Rudolph. You look at, I guess it was 2019, I believe, comes in when Ben Roethlisberger goes down. I think he had like a 5-3 record that year, but he eventually, started playing so poorly that he got replaced by Devlin Hodges as the starting quarterback that year. Not necessarily a good thing to have on your resume. And then he basically went in witness protection for like the next 3 years. He had one start in those 3 years, and things were going down that road again in 2023. And then all of a sudden, Kenny Pickett gets hurt. Mitch Trubisky is playing poorly, and they say, "All right, well, here's your shot, Mason Rudolph." And he has a series of pretty decent games, especially when you consider how little he played. He goes 3-0 down the stretch. Has a quarterback rating of 118.6, and he even played. He got the Steelers into the playoffs, and he even played pretty well in the playoff game that they lost against Buffalo. He was okay. So, I think in the perfect world, I think I would have liked to have seen the Titans go for maybe a more proven veteran. We talked about the names a few weeks ago. Gardner Minshew was probably top of the charts. Guys you had seen on a longer stretch prove that they can win. I like Gardner Minshew. Tyrod Taylor is a guy who's won consistently as a backup. Jacoby Brissett has put up big numbers as a backup. So I think the Titans are saying, "Hey, we really like those last three, four games last year." And the good thing is it is a very recent stretch of games, so that's a plus. And Denard, as you mentioned too, I mean, he certainly looks the part. He's like 6'5", 235, and certainly put up big numbers in college and so forth. So I don't think it's as bad as the Titans fans seem to think it was. I don't think it's ideal, but it'll do.
Well, and we should note he signed a 1 year, $2.87 million contract, and the really interesting thing about that is, as it stands right now, with Will Levis, Mason Rudolph, and Malik Willis, the Titans' total quarterback salary cap hit for 2024 is $6.316 million, which is a stark contrast to the $39.508 million they were banging on that position last year, most notably, of course, with Ryan Tannehill and his $36.6 million cap hit. So when you can, when you can go cheap on the quarterback room, it allows you to do a lot of other things with your roster, such as, for example, sign Calvin Ridley to a 4 year, $92 million contract, and some of the other moves they have made. Should point out that Mason Rudolph is not the first Mason Rudolph of note in the Nashville area. Old school Nashville will know this. New age at Nashville, I'm not sure they will, but Mason Rudolph was a highly accomplished golfer out of Clarksville, Tennessee. Won the U.S. Junior Amateur in 1950. Eventually played and coached at Vanderbilt, around which he also won five times on the PGA Tour. Was a member of the Ryder Cup team one time. Finished in the top five in the Masters at one point. I was fortunate enough to get to know Mason in that particular Mason Rudolph in his later years, and a finer gentleman I don't think I've ever known. So hopefully, I would assume Mason Rudolph probably has heard about that. If he hasn't, I hope he will hear very quickly when he gets to Nashville. But I mentioned Ryan Tannehill, and Ryan Tannehill remains a free agent at this point. And for a guy who just a couple years ago had his team in the AFC Championship game, was the NFL Comeback Player of the Year, all the things we saw him accomplish here. This is a bit of a startling development to me. Denard, how about you? Does this surprise you, or is age and injury, do you think, is it just too much for teams to get excited about right now when it comes to Ryan Tannehill?
You know what, David? I got a gut feeling that on draft day, if we see Chicago go with Caleb
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams out of, let's say, USC. So you get a rookie. I got a gut feeling that Ryan RT can be he can end up in Chicago. I think that'll be a great fit. You're talking about a young rookie that they're going to bring in probably to try to be the starter. And we know how rookies, unfortunately, in this league, they just don't really, that first season is tough. And I think that's what ends up hurting them a lot, David and John, is that they don't do like they used to do. Like, when Peyton, man, I know Peyton was kind of thrown in there in the fire with Indy in 98. But if you ever look at when Steve came in, David, that first year in 95, was it Chris Miller that they
Chris
had?
Chandler.
Chris Chandler, I'm sorry. Chris
Yeah.
Chandler, who was a great quarterback for a long time in the league. So I think this can be a great fit. I got a gut feeling Ryan's going to get that call when Chicago makes that draft pick pretty soon. I got a gut feeling he's going to end up in Chicago.
Okay, well, Chris Chandler, of course, famously did not embrace the role of mentor, and Steve McNair, when asked about him later in time after Steve had established himself, basically just bit his lip and sort of took the "if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all" sort of tack with that. But and then when Steve did get the starting job in '97, of course they brought in Dave Craig, who was about 40 years old at that point. And part of the reason being, A, Dave Craig didn't want a lot of practice time so Steve could get all the reps, and two, Dave Craig was a guy who had been there and could help Steve and answer some questions. And he kind of rode off into the sunset with the, well, they were the Tennessee Oilers in '97 and '98. John, what do you think? Is there a logical spot for Ryan Tannehill, and why do you think he's still available at this point?
Yeah, it is a little surprising, when you look at the quarterbacks that have, A, have been signed and B, that are now available. Ryan Tannehill's name certainly stands out as better than a lot of them. Certainly the ones that are left now, the only one really that comes close to his, kind of track record, and it's not even really close at all, is Carson Wentz. You look at the other names that are free agents now, and it's there are several that are ex-Titans for some time or another. Blaine Gabbert, Matt Barkley, Logan Woodside are all names out there. But I wonder if some of it has to do with the fact that Ryan Tannehill is probably, I think Ryan Tannehill, certainly gave every indication last year that he still thought he was a starting quarterback in this league, and that's where the plan was. So I imagine he's not just willing to settle for any team that's going to say, "Hey, come on in here and sit, and be a backup, and in case anybody gets hurt, then you can go in." I suspect, he would like a chance to battle for a starting job anyway. The problem, of course, is that those teams, there are few and far between right now that look like they don't have an established starter. I think one, that certainly stands out is probably Denver. Right now, after moving Russell Wilson, trading him to Pittsburgh, right now it looks like their starting quarterback is Jarrett Stidham. The backup is Ben DiNucci. So certainly, I think of all the places where you could say, now there is where Ryan Tannehill could probably A, battle for and B, win a starting job. That one makes the most sense to me, because really, you look at a lot of other teams and they've got one sort of younger guy and one sort of veteran that they like. And you have trouble seeing where Tannehill would take the place of either of the two guys on the roster right now. And then there are some teams also, and Bernard touched on this, that maybe don't have a set quarterback right now, but are probably going to have one after the draft, because we know, three, four, five quarterbacks are going to go pretty highly. And I don't know if Ryan wants to go in that situation. Maybe that becomes the best situation for him. So I think it's probably a little bit of a combination that, he probably wants to be in a certain spot where he can contend for a starting role, and other teams are just saying, "Hey, look, We look at you as a backup, and we've got our veteran guy right now to go with our younger player.
Yeah, it's interesting. He certainly gave no indication, even last year, that he felt like, okay, I'm transitioning into a new phase of my career here where I'm going to be this veteran guy. I mean, he handled it well, but he certainly felt like, I think, throughout the season, he was the best quarterback on the roster when he was healthy, and that he should be a starter in this league. And you wonder if the delay is he's decided he's going to be really particular and get exactly the right situation, or if it's that the rest of the league doesn't see things the way he does, and he's going to have to readjust his thinking. I mean, if it is the latter, the good news for him is he's been through this, right? When the Titans acquired him in 2019 in a trade with Miami, it was, look, you're coming here to be Marcus Mariota's backup, and he did what he was supposed to do, did all the right things, and 7 weeks into that season, all of a sudden, he's the starter, and off he went. So if he does end up going somewhere and being told, look, no matter what, you're the backup, at least he can go there with a certain amount of confidence that, like, hey, if I just do what I did in Tennessee a few years ago, maybe things will work out for me exactly the way they did, or close to the way they did there. And that probably would make it easier to handle than just going and sitting and thinking, well, if they tell me I'm a backup, I guess I'm a backup, and you have to adjust your thinking that way. But it's But you know, we talked about it last week. Derrick Henry went somewhere quickly. Sean Murphy Bunting, Danico Autry, Aziz Alshire, all these guys got scooped up pretty quickly. And here Ryan Tannehill, who was certainly plenty productive during his time in Nashville, there he sits. So we will keep an eye out for what happens with him. We
I was going to
mentioned,
mention Davey
yeah.
too, also, just real quick. Maybe it's a situation where Ryan Tannehill now might say, okay, if there's nothing I like right now, maybe I just hold off for a while, and
Yeah.
maybe I wait until even as late as training camp, because the first team with an injury at quarterback all of a sudden is desperate. Who's the first name on the list easily right now? It's Ryan Tannehill, and you figure if there's an injury, you're going in with a chance to play a lot. I mean, so I'm sure in a perfect world, you'd like to go to a team where you have an entire, off season to work with a system, a coach, and so forth. But if he goes the other route, certainly there are going to be some teams, inevitably quarterbacks get injured, whether it's the off season or training camp or whatever. And again, all of a sudden he becomes a much more coveted quarterback than it looks like he is right now.
It's the Joe Flacco plan, I guess we could call it,
Yeah,
right?
right.
I mean, Denard, how good would Ryan Tannehill be in that sort of situation? I mean, he's a guy you would trust to stay in shape and ready and do whatever. And if somebody needs to call him 7, 8 weeks into the season, don't you?
Yeah, I think it, you know what? No matter where he goes, I think this can be a great situation. Let's not forget, and owners and GMs need to remember this. Just a few years ago, you're talking about a player in RT that threw for 2,500 yards, 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Unfortunately, he got hurt. And this was a team that if they had Ryan Tannehill for the remainder of the season, they would have made the playoffs. Unfortunately, that's just the way this league works. It's like a David, it's like a hypergamy way of thinking in this league. It's always looking for the next best thing. And as you get older, I went through the same situation later on in my career when I was about 31 years old, is that sometimes you have to be very patient and just kind of see what opens up. And that's how I ended up in Oakland. But when you look at it, David, just look at this. Think about all of these young players that have came in the last few years. You're talking about Anthony Richardson for the Colts. He didn't pan out very well this first season. He didn't look at you had Gardner Minshew, who really saved the season for, or at least helped that team. But you look at Trey Lance, we know about his story. I mean, so you don't know about Caleb Williams. We don't know. We know that Caleb Williams, Drake Mays, Jaden Daniel, and JJ McCarthy are going to be the first off the boards, but We don't know how these players are going to pan out. And we just mentioned, as we alluded to earlier with Steve McNair and Dave Craig, you're going to need a quality backup just in case.
Yeah, it's and Tannehill certainly can be that. And I guess to the point too, if he wants to play the waiting game, there's a lot worse things to do than hang out at his home in South Florida and
He's a
through
pilot,
the
so he can go
fall.
flying.
Yeah, he that's right. That's right. He did learn to fly in the last couple of years. He can just when he gets the call, he can just jump on a plane quite literally and get where he needs to go. We talked at length last week about Danico Autry and what a loss he was, what he has meant to this team, what he could potentially do as a member of the Houston Texans. John, we mentioned at the top of this episode, Sebastian Joseph Day, a guy who's been in the league since 2018. In fact, as we record this on Thursday, March 21st, it is Sebastian Joseph Day's 29th birthday. So happy birthday to him. Is this a guy who can step into that role? And granted, you're going to have different defensive coaches. Maybe that role doesn't exist, but for the sake of argument, can this guy be a suitable replacement for Danico Autry?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd go that far. I don't think he's got the versatility, and the skill that Danico Autry has, especially when it comes to the pass rush. But I do think he is a nice pickup, kind of an under the radar pickup at a spot that had largely been kind of plundered, and that was kind of defensive tackle in free agency. There were not a lot of players left, and they desperately needed help. He's a big guy, 6'4", 310, good run stuffer type, productive, last year, 36 tackles, 3 sacks, 11 quarterback hits. And this is a guy who started, he's certainly not a name. I can't say I'd heard much about him, but this guy started 68 games, over 5 years. And so I think that's a good boost. I think it's a good step in the right direction at defensive line, but they can't stop there. I mean, this position is still thin. When you're talking of the line, and I know Danico Autry kind of went back and forth between inside and out, but still, the line in general needs to get more help. I mean, you're looking at besides Day and besides Simmons, the depth chart right now. You're looking at guys like T.K. McClendon, Quentin Bohanna. Keandre Coburn, the list of no names could go on, because they've lost other guys over the last several months. T.R. Tartt is gone, Naquan Jones is gone, and even guys that filled in last year like Jaleel Johnson, Marlon Davidson are free agents as well. So this is a team that, yes, I like that Sebastian Joseph Day signing. To me, again, a good under the radar pickup. Well, that has to be the beginning. I think they need to add somebody in the draft too. I would be surprised if it's one of the very surprised if it's one of the first two picks. But down the line, I think they need some more beef on the hoop, certainly in the middle of that Titans defensive line.
Yeah, certainly he's no comparison to Danico Autry when it comes to getting to the quarterback. In 6 years, this is a guy who has 11 sacks, but he has shown some versatility in that he has played and started in both three-man fronts and four-man fronts. In the three-man front, he has started as a nose tackle. He has played as a defensive end. So he is a guy you can move around a little bit. Specific and he you know to his credit, he was a sixth round pick in 2018. In 2019, he's a full-time starter in the league. So that's a guy who certainly made the most of his opportunity. He has played exclusively in California to date as a member of the Rams, and then last year the Chargers and the 49ers both. So Denard, John said he didn't really know the name in any significant way. Is this a guy with whom you're familiar, and what do you think of his addition?
I'm not very familiar with Sebastian Joseph Day, but I have watched him play. And let's not forget, just a few years ago in 2020, he signed a massive contract. What was it, a 3-year, $24 million deal with the Chargers? Unfortunately, when he went to LA, he was hampered a little bit. He had an MCL injury, which is, as a player, that's tough. I mean, that will hamper you all season. And he just didn't really play really up to par. He was, and unfortunately, they ended up cutting him. But you got to remember, when he came in 2018, he was but a fifth rounder out of Rutgers. By 2019, he was playing, who was that with, San Francisco, not San
With the
Francisco,
Rams.
the Rams, I'm sorry. And he ends up starting that year. So he's kind of been kind of like up and down in his career. You know, sometimes he's shown flashes that he can be a full-time starter. Then unfortunately, he's had some injuries that have kind of lingered him from really playing up to par. But again, he's one of those players that's going to come in. He's got a lot to prove. And you know, again, we just have to see. That's how free agency works, David.
And playing behind him, a guy we didn't talk about much last week was linebacker Kenneth Murray, a guy who was a first round pick of the Chargers in 2020, and has started all but six games he's played in his 4 years in the league. But generally, the reports I've seen out of LA with him underwhelmed. We talked if Sebastian Joseph Day is maybe filling the shoes to some degree of Denico Autry, John, can Kenneth Murray suitably replace Azeez Al-Shaair in the middle of the Titans defense there?
Yeah, I'd say that's a question mark right now. I don't know. You know, I liked Al-Shaair a lot. I mean, you know, the guy had 163 tackles last year, led the Titans. You know, wasn't necessarily a great coverage guy, but you know, I thought, you know, an excellent leader. You know, I thought a solid player. I would have thought he would have been more priority to re-sign. I'm not overly impressed from what I see in Kenneth Murray. As you said, kind of a first-round pick who just kind of, yeah, he's kind of had a career so far. When you look at some of the analytics reports on him too, overall defensive grades, he's never been over 54.4 in 4 years. Not too impressive. Last year was a 52.9. One of the things, you know, I liked about him was that he's a you know a three he's been a three down guy. You know, he is a guy who can at least put in coverage, but then when you look at what he did in coverage last year, not pretty. He gave up four touchdown passes, quarterback rating of about 119.8 against him, and 660 receiving yards against him. So yeah, he can you can put him in coverage. That's what teams have done, but it's not necessarily a great thing. So I guess, you know, some basic numbers he had last year were decent. I mean, he had over 100 tackles, he had three sacks, and you know, four pass breakups. So those are good, but I think they're behind right now. I would have rather had Al-Shaair than Kenneth Murray, to be honest. So I think it's up to Kenneth Murray to show us something once he arrives.
Yeah, Murray, a guy who led Oklahoma in tackles his last year there, and certainly on a defense with Bosa and Mack and some of the players that the Chargers had, you would have thought his job would have been easy, and because he didn't have to do too much, but didn't do a whole heck of a lot, I guess. Denard, what have you watched him much? Do you have any? I mean, I guess the good news is he's 25, right? There's still
Yeah.
time for him to figure it out.
Yeah. Man, I've been watching Kenneth Murray. I mean, this young man, I go, to me, I've been watching him. He's out of Elkins High School in Missouri City, which is out of the Houston area. And I watched him at University of Oklahoma. And he's a monster. I mean, a freak. 6'2", 241. David, he has a body of a Greek god. And he's a one heck of a run stop. Now he's in the running game. You know, he can hold his own. And had like John alluded to, he had over 100 last year. He had 107 tackles. The last time he had that was his rookie season. So he had kind of identical numbers his last year, 2023, which was his best year. Unfortunately, he struggles in the passing game, and we know that Al-Shaair, that's like his strength. You know, he's good in space. So that's something that he's going to have to work on, to be a complete linebacker in this league. If Kenneth can do that, I tell you what, he has a chance to be a stud. David, you're not a first rounder for nothing. Let's not forget who was that? The LA teams confuse me. But the Chargers, there's a reason that they took him with the number one pick in 2020 because they know that he has the talent to be an all-around linebacker. Unfortunately, his flaw is that is in playing in space. And until he learns how to really play in space, he's going to struggle in this league. But I love him. 25 years old. I mean, they declined his that fifth year option. They let him walk, and they just felt like he just was below average. He didn't play like they felt like as a first rounder he should be playing. And they didn't feel like he had the overall game, which most linebackers about their fourth year, this is where they start to develop. But I love him. He's got a lot of upside. Unfortunately, his Achilles heel is that space, David.
Well, and maybe it's just a question of getting a fresh start too, right? I
That
mean,
also, yeah.
when things start going the wrong way, maybe you get a little sideways with your position coach, whatever. You get tired of them hammering you with the same things over and over again. Maybe it's as simple as that, a fresh start will do a guy like that good. We can the Titans can simply point to a guy like Kyle VandenBosch, right? Who was a second round pick in with the Cardinals and considered a massive bust and a huge disappointment there. And he came and became a Pro Bowl player in Nashville, changed the whole way that the defense worked for a while with his relentless work ethic. So it can certainly happen. And that's what I think the Titans are betting on, or at least hoping for in this case. We'll see. Real quickly, as we wrap this up, we were talking about Tannehill earlier and his injury problems. The hip drop tackle, which is I guess a technique that has gained momentum here around the league in the last couple of years, but it's also generated some headlines because guys feel like they're being hurt. I guess it's the new horse collar tackle. The league seems to be moving to try and take this out of the game now. Denard, is that something that could or should happen, or I mean, or is it an actual technique, or is it just sort of a reflex when you get your arms around a guy?
It can be both, and unfortunately, Roy Williams is to blame for this because he put out a lot of players in his days by that horse tackle. Again, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, some guys are like Peanut Tillman; they can punch you, to punch the ball with their fist. No one says anything about that. They can break a wrist. So I don't know. This is an interesting call, David. I think that you got to leave this up to the league. But yeah, you can blow out a guy's hip, but I don't know if this is something that you really want to play with right now.
Yeah, I mean, actually, what you're doing is you're sort of you kind of get the guy wrapped up, and then you
Yeah.
throw your hip down and you drag him down. John, what have you seen? What have you heard in terms of the momentum about getting this move outlawed?
Yeah, well, we're seeing the NFL, the execs and the competition committee definitely wants to do that. They feel like their injuries have occurred on like 20 to 25% of hip drop tackles. That's a big number. NFLPA says, hey, no, we want that in the game. It's too hard to tackle people
Right.
anyway. Don't take another thing away. I think it's a good idea. I understand where the defenders are coming from, but I've just seen too many injuries. We've seen Tannehill knocked out. We saw Tony Pollard knocked out a little bit ago. So I'd like to see it penalized.
Well, we will see, but that'll do it. That'll be the final word here on this episode of Believe in Titans. Thanks as always for listening.